Hey guys, it's Brent and Lila.
This week, we decided to do something a little different and invited our friend Erica Barden back on the podcast. You've heard her on here before to talk about sports.
Yes, I'm a big sports fan. She's a big sports fan. There was some good sports news this week, and so we felt like it would be fun to just sit around and talk about sports.
And explain sports to me, who is not a big sports fan.
Right.
So we are releasing this as a special edition, you know, to the podcast. We teased it in the regular podcast. If you heard that, you can skip through like the first 10 minutes or so. But otherwise, enjoy our new sort of side segment. We're calling it Big Brain Sports.
For now. But we like it.
So we might keep it.
So here it is.
Here it is. Big Brain Sports. Enjoy.
So this is a segment that I'm really excited about. We've talked sort of just about it before when there's been appropriate news to talk about, but we're going to talk about sports.
I'm nervous about this. Skeptical, at best. But we have my friend Erica here, who's been on the podcast before.
Yes.
You may remember her from an earlier just sit-in with us.
Sports expert.
Yeah, and she's going to be our resident sport expert.
Wow, I don't usually title myself that, but I'm excited to today. And you should be nervous.
Compared to Lila, we are both sports experts.
Yes. Yes. And I don't
historians,
like to be even. In a room full of people where I know the least about something.
Yeah, you should have definitely worn, like, verbal knee pads.
Right.
Shoulder pads and a helmet.
I'm mentally prepared, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not, but I couldn't.
Yeah. But it was a good week for sports news, sort of, anyway. At least just even being kind of, like, in the, you know... out there.
In the ether.
Yes.
I didn't follow any of it, so I'm counting on you guys.
Think it's actually great that you didn't follow it, because we can kind of give you a recap and see what your natural reaction to what happened is.
Yeah.
Will it be apathy? That's an often a reaction.
For one of them, I hope not. For one of the main stories, I hope not.
Okay, let's dive in.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
I mean, I think we got to start with... Okay, what's the opposite of indiscreet, obvious, unfiltered, loose cannon? Anything come to mind?
A word or
yeah,
a person?
A word.
Oh, like, well, discreet.
If you're undercover, incognito. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
So
yeah. There you go, Richie Incognito. That's his name. That's a football player.
That's an
option for a name, apparently.
Isn't there a basketball player with a funny name? That's like something...
Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard of him, because one of my coworkers watches basketball at work. Mm-hmm.
He's terrible.
Didn't hear that from me.
Yeah. I mean, his name is Meta World Peace.
Yeah. Anyway, Richie Incognito.
Yes.
So he left his teammate, Jonathan Martin, a voicemail that I have... I actually got the transcript... I'm going to just use expletive so
you can
air this podcast. Hey, what's up, you half expletive piece of expletive? I saw you on Twitter. You've been training 10 weeks, all expletive in your expletive mouth. I'm going to slap your expletive mouth. I'm going to slap your real mother across the face. Laughter. Expletive, you're still a rookie. I'll kill you.
Oh, yeah. Death threats. Uh-huh. Awesome.
Yeah, that's it.
This is a teammate of his.
Yes, they're teammates.
Oh.
They're apparently bros, too.
Now, could this have been, like, a thing that they do where they threaten to kill each other in a friendly manner in which that really means I love you?
Supposedly how this started was, my understanding is that Jonathan Martin had not gone to a few, like, optional team workouts. And everyone sort of, like, knows that optional is code for you must go.
You better get there.
Because they're kind of, like, in the off season, so whatever. Right. So I think the coaches had asked Incognito to sort of, like, because Jonathan Martin, it's only his second year.
Right.
And that's why this sort of, like, you're still a rookie remark came in. To sort of, like, get him kind of, like, back in the fold and sort of, like, energized and, like, sort of, you know, basically, like, continue hazing him.
So he immediately went with death threats.
So he went with death threats.
Not only to him, but also potentially to his mother.
Right. Who is not involved, as far as I know.
It's just brought about an interesting conversation, because there are a lot of people who have sort of, like, sided with Richie Incognito in the sense that, like, this is just football, this is what guys do, this is hazing, like, this is, you're only a second year, like, and there has been sort of, like, you know, the people who have really
this
been, like...
part of the brotherhood culture.
Oh.
Because yes. we all usually give our siblings death threats.
Right, death threats, right, yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's well, we wouldn't know. Brett and I are well-known only children.
Yeah,
It's actually, I probably have given my sister when I was younger a death threat. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
When you were younger.
Yeah, but not as an adult in right. a professional setting.
And as somebody who could legitimately carry out a death threat because you're a professional athlete and ostensibly, and have the last name Incognito, which adds a new layer, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, he already, with that name, had such a target on his back, like, you cannot be sending death threats to people with that name.
No, you can't.
If your name is like Ben Smith,
right?
Send a death.
No one's gonna care. So what happened was, so he was suspended, and it was this big hullabaloo in the NFL, and you know, obviously, it brings about conversations of racism and hazing and bullying.
White. Jonathan Martin is black.
Oh, layers. That little part of that the news story was important.
Yeah.
And I think the latest news that's happening is that Incognito and fellow teammates are coming out, you know, supporting him. He has apologists out there saying that this is just part of, you know, like we said, the culture,
what they do,
the environment, what they do. I recently met a friend of mine who's from the South. Met her aunt, and she used the term coloreds.
Mm.
So, classic. But apparently that's just what they do in the South. So that's so okay.
Maybe. Yeah, of course.
It's been interesting because there has sort of been an element of not just race, but Jonathan Martin is also, he went to Stanford. He's very intelligent. And there has been sort of like this kind of like, whether
and
there's
black.
There's I know there's been this whole sort of element about
amazing.
Like with
there's almost like a like, classist
a classist sort of like thing it. Like is there and also just sort of like within like is he there's the whole thing of like is he black enough, you know, sort of like, you know,
oh,
at
sure.
least in terms of like, you know, people who are playing football. There's just been a lot of like weird sort of elements, like, you know, deeper than just sort of like, you know,
right.
the two teammates
with a death threat.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, he and Obama could actually share a lot of notes.
Yeah, exactly. He's been having
death threats and not being black enough or being too black.
Yeah, yes.
Is there an element of football culture that is sort of, I don't want to say anti-education, but kind of determine, because I know that a lot of football players get, like, scholarships. That's, you know, they get noticed because they get scholarships to go to schools that have good football teams. But is there sort of, like, a little bit of an issue with like people who went to like schools like Stanford versus people who went to like state schools? Or,
well, I think that is sort of like, at least I don't know that that has necessarily like specifically come up in this argument, but it's a thing that like people have sort of like
an undercurrent.
Unless you're a quarterback,
right?
So because that's
what do quarterbacks do?
It's because it's considered to be requires a certain level of intelligence, and I would say that anyone, no matter who you are, would back that up.
Sure,
just what you have to do as a quarterback.
Right.
You have to not only have intelligence just generally, and then you have to have a very very high football IQ because of everything that you are manning at once.
Right.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
So that's like the latest news, and even, you know, Ryan Tannehill came out and supported him. Ryan Hartline, that's their quarterback, their wide receiver. They're both white.
Mm-hmm.
You should know that. But you know, I'm sure that there are plenty of black players and players of other ethnicities that have come out and supported him as well. But it's just. It's just interesting that he's still standing by what he, you know, what he
right.
did. I mean, it's like, was Don Imus going to come out and say, yeah, that was, that's
right.
just like, that's just part of the culture, you know?
We just have death threats here. That's what we do.
Right.
It's a workplace rife with death threats.
Or we just completely slander women and African-American women. So it's, you know, I guess it is in jest. I mean, I think one of the things that this brings up for me, that I think is interesting is the NFL has so many criminals in it. I love football. Football is my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah, mine too.
But like if you compare the NFL to the NBA and you look at arrests,
Oh, yeah.
The NBA gets in the spotlight because LeBron left Cleveland to go to a good team.
Right.
When he was the number one at, you know, at the time, he was, you know.
Well, and the NBA players sort of like, their rap is that they're sort of like all sort of like womanizers and sleeping around. Not to say that NFL players aren't probably doing the same thing.
They have
this
sort of
like,
rock star element.
That's kind of like a different rap than kind of like, you know, being thugs.
Right. But the NFL kind of gets away with it. That's what's interesting.
Well, it's just guys, you know, angrily running into each other.
But it's a sport about tackling people.
So it's not necessarily shocking to learn that some of them
are doing that in their free time.
Are doing that in their free time. Yeah,
but it's like it's interesting to see that sort of immunity, that kind of judgment.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I would also say that there's probably a distinct sort of like geographical reason for why this is, because the places that football is really popular in like state, like sort of poor states, like states that are kind of like rural states that have room for football fields.
Richie Incognito is from Nebraska, I believe, right? Or he went to Nebraska anyway.
He went to Nebraska.
So there's sort of, another.
Like it's more like, I mean, that basketball is the kind of sport that gets played in cities primarily.
Right.
It's
the true. Big city is Miami, true. LA.
It's a sport you can play indoors in a gymnasium. So there's plenty of room for basketball to be played.
But it's also been the influence, I think, from the commissioners, too. I mean, basketball has a dress code.
Right.
You know? And that's why basketball is, like, such big into fashion now, is because it, like, came out of a place where they instituted this dress code to sort of, like, make it seem sort of, like, more respectable. And so like now you see all these basketball players like in their post-game press conferences at like the height of fashion, and it's has sort of like turned into that over like the last 10-12 years because David Stern instituted that policy where they had to like be in nice clothing, and now they're all like, you know, big fashion stars,
literally have their own brands, have their own lines.
It's a genius merchandising move.
It is. We talked about that off the air. Well, and even more so in relationship to this story, the NBA came out reinforcing their anti-hazing policy, which I just think is so funny. You would never see that in reverse. You never see the NFL going out and seeing the controversies in other sports and making sure that they have
hazing here at the NFL.
Right.
But yeah, so
even playing football is sort of hazing.
It's sort of.
It is. I mean, literally, I went and I looked up because, you know, you think about the NFL in recent years. You've got Michael Vick, Aaron Hernandez, and then a slew of guys that have just had tons of weapons, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like Plaxico Burress.
Oh, yeah.
Shot
that's
himself
right.
in the leg.
Yes.
I mean,
come on.
Yeah. Chad Johnson. I looked up arrests.
These are good players, too, that she's naming. I know you don't know that.
I don't know who they are.
They're all extremely... You want them on your fantasy team.
Right, you want Aaron Hernandez on your fantasy team, even though he's about to go to prison for murder.
In fact, that's why you want him on your team. You know.
I know.
That
he's going to be good.
Yeah, that guy's not afraid.
No.
I looked up players arrested in 2013. In NFL versus the NBA. And it was literally, it was like a 3-inch long list to like
pages.
A 2-foot long list. Like, and every single one, it was, you know, and I'll save the tinted window charge.
Right.
I'll take that one off the list. But it was all, you know, domestic assault, assaulted an officer, drove into a ditch. Battery. Oh, my favorite is there are a lot of simple assault charges.
Oh. What constitutes simple assault?
What makes it not so difficult?
Like, it was just like a light bruise.
Right.
It was one swipe.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear cut assault. Nothing clouding
If it cleared up with Neosporin within four days, it was a simple assault.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, wrist injury to child. I mean, I think there was something like...
As a recent wrist injury sufferer, I'm not on board with it.
No.
I mean, there was like 16 or 17, I want to say, just in 2013,
right.
of like significant charges. This is probably not
like
even...
Like violent charges a lot.
Violent charges. You know, it's...
Not like even just casual jaywalking charges.
Yeah, and then I looked up the NBA, and, you know, it was like, oh, had pot possession. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, all of their big scandals are about, like, adultery, basically. Like, I mean, it's all, like, nonviolent. Like, it's just, like, sleaze. It's just about being sleazy.
Like Kobe's.
Yeah.
Oh, have you heard about the other, getting back to Incognito, the other story that's out now? This is not funny. It's about rape. but not, okay, not rape, molestation, a volunteer at a Dolphins charity golf tournament has come out. She had filed a charge that Incognito had harassed her and molested her. With a golf club.
With a golf club.
Oh, God, I had not heard that.
What does that even mean? It sounds worse, I think, than it probably was.
Okay.
But, and then, this is my favorite phrase, was touching her privates with a golf club.
Okay, it was, okay.
Yeah, I don't think there was, like, insertion.
Oh, my God. I had not heard that.
But, yeah, that's
But it doesn't shock me.
No, and, I mean, either... I guess because this came out before all of the news, so she still has some credibility. okay. But can you imagine she was a volunteer too?
Like an adult charity,
wasn't even getting paid for it.
Right. God, I know.
Free molestation.
At least be on the clock if you're going to be getting touched in your private at the golf club.
At least you know this I could be collecting some money.
Yeah, he's just terrible.
Clearly.
That's it.
But probably. It's just so interesting to see, to see the apologist come out.
Right. He's terrible, but apparently everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in other work environments, you can't do that.
Right. No.
You can't. I mean, that is the basics of harassment.
Yeah.
Well, and another thing that I think, just to be perfectly honest, is that he's a good player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that if this was like some...
Rando.
Third string, you know, bench warmer, then I don't think that anybody would, I mean, people probably wouldn't care as much, but people, yeah, exactly.
Ben Smith,
people would also not be sort of like sticking up for him, because I think that there's like this aspect of like wanting to
like
continue to have it. Right, exactly.
Because this is obviously a conversation that, you know, it's like when there's like hazing things that happen in college sports teams, and it always starts this like larger discussion about hazing and college sports or whatever.
Yeah.
But unless it's a team that no one really wants to know this about, and then no one ever talks about it. Like, this is like if this happens to like the top seeded team in some sport that I won't name, because I don't know what sports have seats and whatnot. But
on a much worse degree, you can look at Penn State.
Yeah.
Do you know how many...
Right, for how long that went on.
Well, do you know how many apologists are in Pennsylvania
that
still, till their dying day, will 100% support Joe Pa? And 100%. And probably support Sandusky.
He's the ball coach. I mean,
He had benches and statues and walkways dedicated to him all over that campus.
Yeah.
And
I remember when they removed that statue, there were all the protesters, and it was like a big event on campus when they did
that.
It
was huge. I was going back east for a trip, and my cab driver was from that area, and I could tell she had mixed emotions about it. And, you know, I'm a huge college football fan.
Yeah.
Joe Pa has been an icon for anyone that follows that sport. And to me, there was just no question. Like, there was no, I mean, he endangered the lives and mentally potentially endanger kids for the rest of their lives. There's just.
Yeah, like,
And I know he didn't do it, but he allowed it to happen.
Right. There's not two sides to that.
There isn't. Yeah. And at some point, you have to realize this is sports. And we get away from it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I mean, this whole Incognito situation, I think you can see a tie there in that they believe in the culture and they believe in football so much that they can't even see what they're doing.
Right.
It's completely irrational.
Separate the culture from this. Like, you don't need to be issuing death threats to people's mothers to play football effectively.
Right. If this was a thing that was happening just in life between two people, like, you would not be thinking to apologize to Richard Incognito. So, like, you sort of have to be able to take it out of the context of where it's happening.
Right.
Like, and I know that, like, everybody sort of wants to put it in that context, but, like, who cares whether it happens
you don't need that culture to create entertaining football games. Like, there's no reason that you would need to be able to do that in order to play football well.
Right.
Right. I think it all also comes down to, you know, we were talking about the NBA having, more scandalous stories related to infidelity. You know, that doesn't bother me as much because that's just like, that has nothing to do with what they're doing on the court.
Yeah.
This, directly will affect, you know, how he feels when he's playing.
Right. Well, and I also feel like that's probably also going on in the NFL too, but we're just too busy talking about murder and violent crimes that we're sort of like forgetting that they're also sleeping around on their wives.
We're too worried about them brandishing a gun in front of like an infant.
Right.
That you know, that the five girlfriends that they have in every city that they're traveling. But yeah, I mean, to relate to politics, it's like the Bill Clinton, you know.
Or Anthony Weiner, even.
Or Anthony Weiner.
You know, because I'm an apologist for Anthony Weiner all the time.
Sure.
But that, I sort of feel the same way. I sort of don't care if people are committing adultery, because that's like their business. It doesn't have to do with the culture of, it's not about like teammates and the culture of a sport. It's about sort of the celebrity culture of the sport,
which
is a separate thing.
Exactly.
And like violent crimes and violent threats and things like that just not only endanger the community, but also just sort of endanger the people that are like working with these people.
Yeah.
Like it's dangerous to be a teammate of a guy who's like...
wants to kill you.
Has committed violent crimes and also maybe wants to kill you.
Right.
Well, I haven't brushed up on my sexual harassment guidelines in the workplace in a while.
I have.
But last I checked, infidelity wasn't a clause.
No. Well, and also infidelity, if you're on a men's sports team and you're committing infidelity with women in every city, that's an outside... Like, you're not working with those women.
No.
Those are just... women.
Well, and also to a certain degree, and like I don't want to give these people passes for their infidelity,
but there are
a lot of people who say that basketball wives know
sort
of like this is what they're signing on for. They're signing on for the celebrity, they're signing on
for security,
the amount of money that their husband is making. And I'm not saying it's always like that, and I'm not saying that like if you take a vow you shouldn't try and stick to it, but you know, I mean, when your wife knows that you're sleeping with everyone and doesn't care, you're not inclined to stop doing so.
Right. Well, the same thing with politicians.
Yeah, this is the same thing with any person who's in celebrity culture anywhere.
Yeah.
Movie stars are doing this, too. It's not like it's not like sports figures are...
I would just say if one of my friends came to me and said, I found the love of my life, and he happens
he's a basketball
to be
player.
Even a professional baseball player, I would say, well, sweetie, I hope you like to share.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Because that's going to happen. And as long as you're okay with that, I mean, the Mormons are doing it. You can do it, too.
Yeah. You could have some unknown sister wives in other cities.
Yeah. I mean, you guys could be pen pals.
Right.
You could be, voicing all of your frustrations. Yeah. They would totally understand.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, you know, he never puts the seat up or seat down.
Right.
So that's our incognito. Do you want to move on to college football?
Yeah, let's do it.
College football.
So basically what's happening in college football is there's three teams at the top that have been undefeated, and it's just a question of who's going to play who in the national championship.
It always comes down to there's this whole system, the BCS system, where it's the bowl championship series, where the top two teams play for the national championship, but it's all done by this, like, crazy sort of, like, they take into account polls, and they take into account, like, your strength of schedule, and it's, like, this
it's
big
like
sort of, like...
I think Stephen Hawking's behind it. Like, it's so confusing. It's such a, like,
nobody knows,
it's weird...
Nobody knows how it works. The rankings come out, like, on Sunday evening, like, after all the games have been played on Saturday, and, like, it's always sort of, like, a big surprise to everyone, like, what the points are gonna say, like, who's in person. I mean, you can sort of guess, like, to a degree sometimes. But anyway... One of those undefeated teams that everybody sort of thought was going to play in the national championship game lost this week.
Oh.
Yes. Oregon, who's been killing their opponents. Huge offense.
Yeah.
Lost to Stanford. And they were down 20-0 going into the second half. They ended up coming back and finally scoring some points.
Yeah.
But they not only needed to win, they had to win big because Florida State, who's also undefeated, who's in that conversation... has been killing
them. Blowing
them out. And they really don't have anyone tough to play on the rest of their schedule. So they're going to probably go undefeated.
Yeah.
So that was like the big controversy. Some interesting side stories related to that was, so Oregon had already, Oregon fans, boosters, I assume, had already produced all these t-shirts. That it said, we want Bama.
Ooh.
Drama. Yeah, they're going to put Alabama's the other team who sort of, like, is always number one until they lose, which they never do. So you're right.
So that's super awkward.
I
wonder about that a lot. Like, in any sport where there's a big championship, they always seem to have the, like, t-shirts and hats ready immediately.
They have them.
Do they have?
They have them. They have them in, like, for, let's say it's a World Series. Right. In the clubhouse, they have the trophies and everything
so
ready.
So what happens when you're the losing team to that merchandise?
I don't know. I bet it probably becomes collector's items, right?
Or does it sold overseas?
Oh, maybe. Oh, or does it go into, like, some sort of incinerator somewhere?
Right, like, do you have to destroy it?
I don't know.
I think it gets sold overseas. I mean, there's the huge offloading markets and...
Yeah.
I mean, think about, have you guys traveled internationally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but yes.
But think about some of the t-shirts that you've seen.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're like not quite right.
Right.
You
know?
Yeah. You can probably buy those t-shirts in Vietnam somewhere. Right. They were
it's
made
like,
there.
Yeah, it's like, right, it's exactly. Like Nike with a C.
They go back home.
Yes, exactly.
That's what happens.
Just says nice.
But do you think? So, do you think it's going to be Alabama and Florida State?
Yeah, which is
at this point.
Really,
but what about Ohio State?
They can't play, right?
They can this year.
They can this year.
Because they didn't lose all of last year, but they were on some probation things for when the NCAA. For,
I just
like,
sort
some
of
sketchy
wrote,
like
I wrote them off for a while, and then I forgot that it's a C. I think the strength of the schedule situation.
The Big Ten's not good enough, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel sort of, I don't feel bad for them because I don't like them because my team is a Big Ten school, so I sort of like am not a huge Ohio State fan, but I feel a little.
Who's your school?
That University of Iowa.
Okay.
Who's
okay.
Iowa people.
They've okay. had, hey, they've had some great seasons.
We've been bad the last couple of years.
But, yeah. But what was it, anyway. 4 years ago?
3 or 4 years ago, we won the Orange Bowl.
Orange Bowl. Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
on top of this whole t-shirt debacle,
yes.
Phil Knight, to clue you in.
Yeah. Who is Phil Knight?
Phil Knight is the owner of Nike.
Okay.
And the University of Oregon is right near Nike and
It's a
big Nike school. Tons of funding gets funneled into the program. Their uniforms are all Nike uniforms.
They always have the very fancy uniforms.
Very
Oregon.
Fancy, yeah.
They're the Ducks. I know. And they always have these crazy uniforms.
They end up really just looking like ninjas, like in their fancy black lycra
pants. And then they also have wings on, I mean, not like actual wings, but like paint on the sort of like on the jersey.
It's,
like
it
they're
probably
very
has
elaborate.
Some like aerodynamic like, feature to it that we don't know
okay.
about.
Yeah.
So,
we'll assume that.
So yeah, they look like a bunch of like ninjas torpedoing around the field. Anyway, so Phil Knight was on the sidelines of the Bama game.
Oh.
Wearing Alabama gear.
Oh.
So it's just like more salt on the wound.
Oh, no. Drama.
Mm. So yeah, it was not a good week for Oregon. Everyone had kind of like locked that
in
for the national championship. Yeah. And so it was a big burn. Oh, and also I think Bama kids made t-shirts that said that crossed out with the phrase of "We want Bama, forgot about Stanford."
Oh, nice! Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So that's the big Baylor beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. And Baylor's still undefeated.
Yeah, they're fifth.
Yeah,
they're ranked
it's crazy.
Fifth.
Yeah,
is that crazy?
I mean, I sort of think it is. I don't think of Baylor as being sort of like a perennial powerhouse.
If you had not mentioned them right now, I would not have guessed that they were part of any sort of conversation that we were having.
Right.
I would have only, I mean, I only really know about who I was playing because Brent is always watching Iowa games,
right.
And then I'm always waiting for him to finish
No,
doing
you
that.
Would never be but, talking about Baylor in the preseason.
No.
Particularly not in the top 10.
No.
So.
But they're also in the Big 12, which is not very strong.
Yeah, not very strong.
Either, so.
Yeah. We could probably form a team and be competitive in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I would have to learn the rules of football first.
Well, maybe not. And
is there a hierarchy to how we decide who to root for in these tournaments in which random teams that we have no sort of like affiliation with?
Well, you can sort of, I mean, yeah.
Like, I mean you, because I am not going to root for anyone, because I will not.
I can always find, well, the thing about sports fans is like, I think that they can, in any sort of competition, can like decide a reason to sort of like pull for someone because it's sort of like the competition that is sort of like gets to your core sort of. So like, I mean, if I sat down and decided to like invest myself like in a ping pong tournament, I could really get behind someone in a way that would be like really intense for me where I would be able to like have an emotional attachment to it.
Right.
I don't know why this is. I don't know what about my psyche allows me to do that.
That I understand. I do. There was one year where I think like the Mets and the Braves played a World Series
The Mets and the Braves. Yes, they could play a World Series together.
And I was in college and I grew up in Yankee Town, and because the Mets fans were so rude about me being a Yankees fan, I just decided to invest in whoever they were playing. Yeah. I didn't care. Yeah. I was like willing. I just didn't want the Mets to win. And I'm from New York, so you would think that that would be problematic. But it was just like, it was a personal decision based on the rudeness of the Mets fans to me that had nothing to do with. But once I was invested, I watched the whole series.
Sure. Well, it's interesting that you bring up baseball because
they actually could not have played each other.
It might not have been the Braves. The
Braves are in the National League.
She's already she was cheering for them. I was cheering for them already.
See, this is the problem.
I was cheering for the non-Mets.
That whole region in sports in general is kind of forgotten about. I mean, see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
See the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. They're actually a very strong team.
Yeah. Right, but no one's trying to.
And they don't fill their stadium.
Yeah.
Well, like, the Buccaneers are terrible this year.
The Buccaneers are terrible. The Devil Rays are actually good, and they still don't fill their seats.
Right. So. Now, I know that I just told you that I could pick someone to get behind in a ping pong tournament.
In a baseball game, you couldn't.
Nope. Can't do it. I can't. I don't have a team. I don't like to watch it. I don't like to be in the room when it's on. It's the most boring hours that one can spend, to me.
That's your baseball is my football, I think. Because I grew up playing baseball.
Nothing happens
in a
baseball game.
That's, I think, why I can get behind it. But also, I mean, I grew up in baseball town. So I grew up in a place where everyone was always talking about, like, and no one was ever talking about football in New York.
I lived in New York for 2 years, and there... But growing up here, it's amazing how different of an experience baseball is.
Well, and I grew up in a city that had more than one baseball team, that at one point had like more than two baseball teams.
Right.
That, you know, where you're borough, like what borough you live in decides who you root for.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, I mean, my friends who grew up in Queens are huge Mets fans, and there would be issues because the Yankees won the World Series most of the years I was in high school. And the ticker tape parade was right by my high school when we would skip school and go to the ticker tape parade, and it was always really fun. But, like, there was always, like, real controversy just, like, within, like, my high school about, like, which team you would root for. Hmm. Mets fans hate Yankees fans because they think they're entitled. Yankees fans hate Mets fans because they're mean to us. There's a lot of controversy just on that. And also, everyone in the world hates Yankees fans. So it feels really important to keep your fandom even after you've stopped caring.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I remember working in an office in New York, and the controller grew up in Manhattan, massive Yankees fan.
Yeah, you gotta be.
And he, the entire baseball season, even when they were winning, it was for sure that they were going to go to the world, you know, go to the playoffs. It was just uncomfortable. It's as if it affected every element of his daily life.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had indigestion specifically related to and caused by baseball season.
A team that was definitely going to win and was probably, like, the richest team in the league and had no concerns.
They probably
had,
like, a 10-game lead.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, in their division.
Well, the problem with being a Yankees fan is a lot like being a native Manhattanite anyway, where it's sort of the national impression of who you are as a Yankees fan is really sort of like terrible. Like, everyone thinks that it's like a rich entitled team, and so they, you know, you have to be a rich entitled fan. And so a lot of people think that you can decide to be a Mets fan on the basis of just that sort of general, you know, stereotype of a Yankees fan.
Right.
But that's, I mean, anyone who follows any sport, I think, can probably understand that, like, your sort of local loyalty does not really have to do with, like, logic or, like, a considered decision about who you're going to root for.
Not really.
It's like,
not usually.
If you live in a state that has no team, it's like, oh, my dad went to this random school, so that's why we root for Ohio.
Right. Yeah.
Like, my family comes from a state that's random, and so we root for this random team that's
random.
Well,
I know. I mean, I love professional sports, and I come from a state that has
none of those teams.
We don't have one professional sports team. I mean,
But I think that actually breeds some of the best support. Because I don't have, even though I grew up in an area where there are professional teams, I you know, for football, I don't have a team that I align myself with. And so right. I like watching teams that have quarterbacks like Peyton Manning.
Well, that's how I am, too. I mean, I sort of, like, have just sort of, like, when I moved out here, the Raiders had just drafted, like, a couple, like, stud Iowa offensive linemen. So I was, like, cheering for the Raiders briefly. And then one of my good friends is, her dad is Norv Turner, and he was coaching for the Chargers for a while. So I was, like, following the Chargers. Now he's at the Browns. So I'm like, well, I've been watching the Browns games. Follow. And it's like, I can just do whatever I want.
Exactly.
I have a team that I can feel sort of excited about if they're winning something, but I don't really have to care.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But then you also watch, you know, you watch the most interesting matchups.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and, you know, you and I both have a fantasy team. Like, before you got over here, I had the Bengals game on because my quarterback is Andy Dalton. And it's like, I don't give a shit about whether the Bengals win or not. But I was
care
like,
about Cincinnati.
But I was really needing, and they're okay this year, actually.
Does anyone care about the city of Cincinnati? No.
But,
their own airport is in Kentucky, as we discussed last night. They don't even.
You and I are both obsessed over our fantasy teams.
I thought I had a fantasy team. I don't. You have a fantasy team.
I have a
fantasy. Let's just put it out there. I had Aaron Rodgers on my team.
Yeah, out for the season.
My number one receiver is getting passes thrown to him by Eli Manning, meaning that he isn't getting passes thrown
right.
to him
They're
because
terrible,
Eli
sure.
Manning's throwing to the Wait. Other team.
Right, exactly. Wait, is Rodgers out for the whole year?
Yeah,
he broke his collarbone, right, mm-hmm. yeah.
So, I mean, I think that he could still play. I think he needs to suck it up.
I know, right?
And deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he boy. Needs to discount, double check himself back into the game.
Yeah, right? That's nice. Yes.
Because I was really relying on the poor, pathetic excuse for a team that I have.
Yeah.
He was one of the shining moments.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh.
Wah, wah. You know, I saw Jason Pierre-Paul went out this morning as well in that game. The Giants, this is what's hilarious. Okay, so you're New York Giants.
Right, yeah. They're not mine because I've never once followed a football game in my life.
You're New York Giants.
Do they also play in Jersey? Are they also
they
the Jersey
both,
Giants?
Well,
Because
the Jets, everybody
the
jokingly
Jets,
calls the New Jersey
Well, and
Jets.
The Jets, like, if you're right. from that area, like, the Jets all, you know, all the tickets are, like, season tickets that are had by people from New Jersey.
Right.
They were briefly going to move the Jets stadium into Manhattan.
Everybody.
That was a major controversy panicked. Because no person in New York City is rooting for the Jets. That's not a thing that's happening.
See, they're a fun team to follow because they're such a train wreck.
They are a train wreck.
I'm glad to hear that because I certainly
but they're actually
don't
sort
want
of
them to be.
Okay.
They've done so much better
I
than
I think
anyone
the best
thought.
Thing that happened was Mark Sanchez getting pulled because
okay,
I think.
Don't get me started on Mark Sanchez because I'm a USC fan. Mm. I covered USC. Mm-hmm. I called that years ago.
Yeah.
Great
what
guy.
Happened?
I've interviewed him many times. Was a wonderful interview.
Yeah.
He cannot
He's
get the job
handsome.
Done. He is so handsome.
Yeah.
He looks like Kelly Ripa's husband.
Yeah, he does.
Mark Consuelos.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I call that he chokes.
Yeah, he
can't.
Does.
He can't handle it. He can't get the. He can't actually get the job done. You know, he doesn't have that extra element of just confidence.
Yeah, because I think Geno Smith is going to be the guy
now.
Mark Sanchez is the type of player like who can't afford to go on the bench and have another person sort of like play better than he is because he sort of like is at the point in his career where he was like not good enough that like if they go with Geno Smith now like he doesn't play again.
He had a huge supporter in Rex Ryan and was glossing over some glaring flaws in his game.
Yeah.
And he's very charismatic. Like I said, he's a great interview. He's got a lot of leadership skills and I think that you know, people kind of, he won people over with that.
Who is Rex Ryan?
Rex Ryan is the coach of the Jets.
Great. Okay.
Who is also quite a fantastic personality to follow.
Yes. He gives a good sort of like post-game press conference.
Oh.
Yeah. He always has some nice,
very,
flavorful comments.
Yes. He's sort of abrasive and like,
New Jersey guy.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he actually is, but he
but
seems
the guy
like he
that
is.
Would be the coach of
he's
a New Jersey
he's
team.
He's a good coach for the New Jersey Jets.
The Chris Christie.
Yes.
So yeah, that's so the Jet. The Giants are actually way more embarrassing right now than the Jets.
What's his name is going to get their coach?
So this is what's awkward.
Right? Yes.
Oh, Coughlin?
Yeah.
Probably.
Because he's
he's on
whenever they have sort of like a mediocre season, they're always like, are we going to fire him? Are we not going to fire him? They're just laughable.
Well,
okay.
Here's an interesting story to bring Lila into. So, do you know who the Mannings are? Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. So this is my theory. Besides the fact that, okay, so Eli's just not as good as his brother. He has more Super Bowl rings than his brother.
Yes.
But he's just not as good. Peyton is, you know, anyone that has met him and, you know, following stories that have been done on him or anyone that knows him will say that he is that smart. Like, he is that, his football IQ is that high, and his just normal level of intelligence is significantly higher than the average person. Eli has been surrounded by a lot of people that have helped him get to Super Bowls. He's had a lot of, he, you know, had a great O-line. They've had a great defense for so many years.
What teams do they both currently play for?
Peyton currently plays for the Broncos. The Broncos,
okay.
Who are very good.
Who are very good. And Eli plays for your Giants.
Okay. It's my personal Giants.
And Peyton's head basically fell off. Like, he broke his neck.
Yeah.
And it was 2-3 years ago, and it was horrible.
He was playing for the Colts, and they traded him even when he came back, because he was sort of like an unknown quantity at that point. He'd been one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Right.
But it was like, is he really going to ever be sort of like as good?
Well, the issue was because he was taking up so much of their payroll, and he wasn't going to be able to play. And so he, you know, it was quite an amicable breakup, if you've ever seen
one. He just had his first game back playing with the Broncos, where they played in Indianapolis, and they basically like gave a whole tribute to him. They played like a video of his best moments. The crowd went crazy. I mean, usually you're cheering against the opposing team, but the people in Indianapolis still
revere him. I mean,
it's not like when LeBron goes back to Cleveland.
No, it's not. It's not. Where like, it's just all crickets.
All living people in Cleveland hate LeBron James.
Yes.
Because he's from there and then sort of like got out just because
he's good.
Peyton Manning made the Colts relevant, and not only relevant, made them very, very good. He didn't have the talent that Eli has had on the Giants to help him get to where he got. So my theory is that, so Peyton had his first year back after all of his crazy neck surgeries.
Right.
And he was better than expected, but he was good. He wasn't, you know, Peyton Manning that we had seen before. And now, and Eli had a decent year last year, was sort of starting his fall from grace. And this year, Peyton came, like, lights out front, like, out
he's
of the
like
gates.
Breaking records.
I think his first game, he had five passing touchdowns, which was breaking a record. And I think that Eli has never been able to handle being in his shadow. Mm-hmm. And now that Peyton's having, like, an incredible year, it's literally,
maybe
like,
the,
an inverse
maybe,
reaction.
Yeah, maybe the universe just can't allow for both of them
to succeed at
the same time. Yeah.
I literally think he just, like, watches. Like, he had that one year where Peyton was out,
right?
And it was like, you know,
went
like,
well,
I,
cool.
I got it.
Yeah, I got it. Like,
me now.
Yeah. Everyone's looking at me when they hear the last name Manning, and now it's like, oh, God, I can just see him on the sidelines. Five? Really? You threw five? Mm-hmm.
But he also sort of has always looked, I mean, he did win those Super Bowls, but he has always, like, even just to look at him, he looks like the dopier of the two Mannings. I mean, he really is just sort of, he's dopey looking, right?
He is. I mean, it's like, he's not as funny on the commercials. It's always
he seems like he might be a little sort of slow, almost, kind of. He's probably not, but he just sort of has, like, that
he's
kind
like,
of, like,
of a family where they had the genetic gift to, like, all be good at football, but, like, there's still one sibling that's always
right. He got the left, he got the leftover good genes, because Peyton's older.
Right.
Because their dad was a great football player,
sure.
Archie Manning.
Maybe.
Quarterback, as well. He was the quarterback.
Fun fact, they have a third brother.
Oh, they do?
Who's in real estate.
Oh.
He's, like, the youngest Jonas brother.
Yeah, he's the bonus Jonas. He's the bonus Manning,
the bonus Jonas. But I almost think that at some points in their lives, that's almost better than being in Eli's position.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because then you're not the worst of the two.
And you're not in the spotlight.
Football players. Like, you're just
have
the
your
one.
Guy.
Right.
And then everyone's like, oh my God, your brother's Peyton Manning.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool.
So then you still get to be cool.
Yeah.
He's like that Brad Pitt brother who looks exactly like Brad Pitt, but like a dopey version
of
Brad Pitt.
Mm, yeah.
And is just like some guy.
Right.
He was in that one commercial. And he's the kind of guy that if you were like, you have a celebrity lookalike. You look a little bit like Brad Pitt.
He's like, yeah, thanks.
But it's not clear why he looks like him because he's so dopey looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I would love
really
to
go
be
awry.
A fly on the wall at that Thanksgiving dinner.
Right?
Yeah, right. Might be lovely. Who knows?
He
tell
like
me about work. How's work going?
I read something recently in Us Weekly, but maybe you can confirm or deny. Yeah, you could be easier to keep up with everyone that way. If your brother was just sort of like in the media constantly, you wouldn't really have to call to catch up ever.
Yeah.
You could just know.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
It's a weight off your mind.
Yeah, so NBA.
Yep.
That's happening.
That's happening.
That's happening. The Pacers are good.
The Pacers are good, yes.
So there's that.
I'm hearing, I have a coworker who's following basketball really closely and is watching the games a lot, like on his second screen in the office. Oh. So I'm hearing a lot of audio about
Who's basketball. He watching? What's he watching?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not watching.
Is he like a Lakers fan or something like that?
No, he's not a Lakers fan. He's from Ohio, so I don't know where he's, where his allegiances lie, but he's got like a whole crew of people that come by and like talk about basketball with him.
Got it.
I have not yet.
It's like 7 or 8 games into the season.
I know.
What is there to talk about? Yeah. You know, you're talking about 82
so
games.
So far, we've talked a lot about the stands being pretty empty for whatever his favorite team is, which is supposed to be a pretty good team, but it's just
is like, it the Pacers?
It might be
the Pacers. Which is awkward because they scheduled 10 of their games to be aired on non-NBA, like, national networks. So they could be really, like, they're about to.
They might be great. No,
they're 7-0, so they could, they're, if they go 8-0, you know.
That's their best, I think, start since.
That's
best
since
remember,
the Lakers in 2010.
And everybody thinks that they are going to be, continue to be that good. I mean, obviously they're not going to go 82-0, but
right.
I mean, there have been, like, a lot of, you know, everybody sort of always thinks the Heat are going to win, but they really pushed the Heat in the playoffs last year and have sort of, like, you know, have added some parts and pieces and everything, and everybody seems to think that the Pacers could actually maybe beat the Heat this year.
Well, the Celtics just beat the Heat. I saw that. I mean, this is the thing. We're 7 games in. I mean, the Celtics beat the Heat this go-around, but,
I know.
You know.
It's like the Lakers beat the Clippers on opening night. The Lakers may not win another game all season. Or
right.
Maybe they have.
Or like, how many
know,
other times are they
going to
play
like,
each other,
well,
you know?
Right. I know. Yeah, that's the thing about basketball and...
And baseball.
And baseball. It's just sort of like... I have a hard time getting invested in a single game over the span of so many. It's just sort of like, I love the NBA playoffs, and I will randomly watch like some.
That's when I start watching basketball.
But like, and it's the same sort of, I'll watch the World Series sometimes, like if I remember that it's on. But I mean, like, it's hard to just sit and be like, oh, this baseball game is like so.
See, I'm more interested in. With basketball, I'm more interested in sort of the politics of, you know, like the, with Kobe and, you know, what Meta World Peace is going to tweet and, you know, how that function, like the, you know, D'Antoni just came out recently talking about Kobe and basically saying, yeah, he is difficult to work with, but that's what makes, you know, I don't know if he used that. I think he said he's special or, you know, but that's what also
this
makes him,
code
that, makes him
else.
That good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's all of the sort of back office, you know, tradings and positioning is what's more interesting. Because I'm not going to start watching until, you know.
Right, exactly.
I would argue that basketball, of all the sports that we've discussed so far, is the most entertaining to watch, though.
Probably. I mean, like, just in terms of, like, action.
It's got,
like
soccer
quick action.
Pace.
Quick action.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like a... Because I have never really followed basketball, but I used to go to a lot of Knicks games just because we had this, like, in with tickets at the Knicks.
Well, it's also sort of like...
And it's exciting, too. Like, I've been to a lot of baseball games, and, like, they're fun if you're rooting for the team, but I've been to Mets games where I'm just sort of like, whatever.
Well, and I think that the reason that you don't... I mean, like, I know that you don't love sports in general, but I mean, like, for a casual watcher, obviously, like, basketball is sort of like, put ball in hoop. Baseball is... Hit ball. Football is sort of
strategy.
A little bit more sort of
it's
like
strategy. It's
vague, which is why I think that
like,
if you knew what you were watching, you would
you
sort
would
of
like
it because like there's
football.
More. There's really
here's,
more sort of like you know things. There's so many
the
things
issue
happening
that I have
at
with
once.
Football, though, is that and this is an issue that I have with baseball, but because I grew up playing baseball, I sort of can like get beyond it. I could never just sit down and watch a football game. It's too slow. I get that like these things happen. They're like things that happen fast. And if you follow those, it's, like, interesting to know what's going on.
Right.
But every time that I've thought I've even had a glimmer of understanding of what's going on in a football game, I've had to be distracted because it's like how I can't watch television if I'm on a treadmill. It doesn't move fast enough for me. I have to, like, listen to music that's, like, fast enough to keep up with my running.
Sure.
And, like, I feel like with football, I can't sit
it's
and
not
just
keeping
wait.
Up.
It's not
with
keeping
your brain.
Up with my brain.
Right, fair
like,
enough.
Like, basketball has something happening at every moment, so you're like, okay, and now that guy's over there,
you
and whatever.
You can blink and you will miss something.
Yeah.
Versus the other two sports.
And that's, what, like, that's why I think
won't.
It's, like, fun to watch live, even if you're not invested in the sport.
Right.
Because it's exciting while, you know, it's happening. It's happening for 3 hours, but everything is happening for the whole 3 hours. Like, the game can get decided at the last minute, but you've been, like, watching it go back and forth the whole time, like, at the pace of your brain. And there's often Dippin' Dots in those stadiums, which is an important part of
it. I mean, that is one thing for baseball. You could get a lot of things done and not miss a single thing.
That's very true. That is what I appreciate about baseball, is you really only need to watch the final inning to know what's going on. Right.
But like soccer, I often find that it's the moments that I am not paying attention that the interesting thing happens.
Right. Well, that's of course. Right.
Sort of like, because like every time the World Cup happens, I'm always like, I'm going to really get into the World Cup.
It's stressful.
And then you like go to the bathroom and like you've missed like the only goal in a 1-0 game. And
right. But that's what I like about basketball, is like there's enough points to go around for everyone. If you miss an important point,
right,
you'll see
there's another one coming in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah. I think probably the best way to describe baseball, even though I am a baseball fan, is that literally nothing can happen, meaning there can be a no-hitter. Yeah. And that means it's a really exciting game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it goes faster when it's a no-hitter, so I
like
that.
That's true. Yeah.
Just painful.
It gets
it's
it
like
over.
A,
no, you know
it's
what?
Like
it's
a dentist
quicker.
Visit.
What's really fun with... I think professional baseball can be a little dull because everyone's so good that it moves very slowly. Farm teams are the best to go see, because everyone is just hitting everywhere constantly. They're giving them, like, free subs every time that they hit, like, a double or something. Like, there's, like, hilarious prizes. You can catch a baseball at those games.
It's kind of like seeing the Harlem Globetrotters.
We at Des Moines had the AAA team for the Cubs.
We had the AAA team where my grandparents live for the Yankees, and so we used to go to that all summer.
Right.
Those are really fun.
Yeah, that would be fun, especially when, like, players were, like, coming back from injury or whatever. Like, I saw Sammy Sosa play a couple times, like, at the, you know, the
Yeah, it was,
Cubs
like, a big, and it would be, like, a
that,
big,
so
like,
fun,
you know, it was, like, near Cooperstown. It was, like, a big baseball scene up there, so that was exciting. Then Giuliani went and stole the Yankee farm team and put it in Staten Island, and I've never been to a game since.
What a loser.
Yeah,
Staten Island life-ruining.
Yeah.
Rough.
That's over there.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Manhattan. I lived in the city my whole life. I've only been to Staten Island twice. One time was when I was 5, and it was just that my mom took me on the ferry, and I don't remember it. The second time was to take my driving test.
You had to go to Staten Island to take your driving test?
If you were in New York, that is the best place to take your driving test.
Yeah,
it's like taking your driving test in a forgotten suburb where there's no traffic.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I ran a half marathon in Staten Island.
That's horrible.
You can imagine how
That's
awful
13
that
miles
is.
Of Staten Island.
If I vaguely remember, I think my iPod went out like halfway through.
Oh, God.
I was borderline suicidal.
That's a nightmare. That's a nightmare.
Oof.
Can't come back from that.
So on that positive note, that wraps up our sports segment.
Yay, sports!
Yay!
Let's do this every week. Sports.
No.
Okay,
we'll do this again so that we can keep up to date.
We'll get, as the football season is maybe closer, like, toward the holiday, we'll know who's in the national championship game. We'll start.
And I'm sure
the playoffs will be starting to shake out at that point.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be a slew of other racial slurs and inappropriate behavior.
We'll keep track of this.
And offensive actions that happen.
Maybe if we're lucky, there'll be something related to a union.
Oh, maybe. Oh, that's right.
That's the only time we've ever covered sports.
We covered the
Olympics in depth.
Oh, God, I don't know if I can go through another union debate.
But I can go through a million Lila union debates.
Yeah.
The NFLPA.
Yeah. But, also, maybe then we can talk about some winter sports, too, because we'll be coming up on the Olympics.
Yes.
Lyle and I were just talking about figure skating earlier.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello, expert.
Yeah. No, we're going to... We're finally going to be in my wheelhouse soon.
Have you been watching any figure skating?
There are some nationals competitions going on right now that we are not watching currently because we're doing this.
Mm.
But Brent and I went to a Richard Simmons exercise class a few weeks ago.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yes.
And there were figure skaters there, and one of them, most of them were professional figure skaters, but one was an, quote, self-proclaimed Olympic hopeful.
And we were all sort of like,
and we were
what
all
is
like,
that?
All right,
that sounds
whatever.
Like a fake thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sort of
like
some,
everyone's,
you know,
like, I'm an Olympic hopeful, too.
Exactly.
Like, all amateur skaters are Olympic hopeful.
I skate and I have hope.
Right.
But
that constitutes.
Our friend just texted us and said that he was on, that she saw him
on TV. He
was apparently part of a world championship team that was the lowest performing American team in since World War II.
But he did win junior worlds twice.
Yeah.
So I think he can safely call himself an Olympic hopeful.
Right.
Yes.
He may very well go to the Olympics.
I think he's earned that right without complete embarrassment.
Yeah. But our Olympic team might be terrible. So that's another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our men's figure skating program is not
It's
right, but
not
isn't
up
Evan Bicechek claiming that he's going to come back.
Okay.
And that he's going to try and do
that. Isn't he always claiming that?
He's claiming that permanently.
I think that he's actually, supposedly, that's a thing.
I don't need to see him again.
I don't.
I'm over Evan Lysacek. I've been over him since everyone was under him. There's been no time that I've been a fan of his.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the heyday to come back where there's, like, sort of charismatic, entertaining.
Oh, yeah. And also, maybe Lila's and my shared figure skating coach who. Oh, yeah, has anger issues.
We're in a feud.
That got a bronze in some sort of, like, European competition.
Right. Mm. Yeah, and has a last name 15 that we can't years spell, ago. So he couldn't have possibly had
He hit. Might be competing, too. He's right. an Olympic hopeful.
Right, yes. Yeah, because he once hoped for the Olympics.
Once.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have you back on.
Thanks,
sure.
guys.
That was fun, though.
That was fun.
That was super fun.
We'll do it again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Obviously, listen to the regular podcast.
Yes.
That you hopefully got to this from being teased on, but yes. maybe you just really love sports.
Right.
All right.
We're broadening Bye. The demographic.
Right.